All right, I ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And I'll begin reading with verse number 1, and I'd like to read down through about verse number 8 this morning. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble and worship you. We ask you this morning, Lord, that in your grace that you might teach us today from your word, that you might encourage us and give us that which we need this hour. And for all that you do this morning, Lord, we want to praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. For it was he who loved us and gave himself for us. His precious holy name I pray. Amen and amen. James, to me, is the epistle of applied Christianity. I always called it Christianity 101. Martin Luther, the Reformer, he entitled it the Epistle of Straw and did not believe that it was inspired by God, he did not believe that it should be included in the canon of Scripture, because he believed that it contradicted the teachings of all of the rest of the Bible of salvation by faith. But I think Martin Luther misinterpreted the book of James, because the book of James is primarily written to Christians, and it's written to teach us how to live in this present world. Francis Schaeffer, a theologian of yesteryear, once wrote a book called How Should We Then Live? Well, you know, James teaches us here in the book of James how we should live in this very present world. We're approaching a new year. It's about to come, and it's right around the corner. And I have no idea what is in store for any of us in the new year. But God does. But as we approach this new year, I think if we look at the book of James, we can learn something from him today to help us as we go into that time this morning. If I were to ask you a question, if I were to say this morning, in the coming year, would you like to have victory in your life? Would you like to be victorious in your life? Most people would answer in the affirmative. I would ask you, would you like to be prosperous in the coming year? Would you like to be a prosperous and how enjoy a prosperity? I'm sure most people would answer in the affirmative this morning. I would ask, would you like to be content with your life? And probably most people would say yes. But if I were to ask you, would you like to have some tribulation come into your life? Would you like to have some trials and troubles and problems come? And you'd say, no, I had enough of those in the past year. I would like to have a year free of tribulations and troubles and sorrows. But this morning, may I say that while probably none of us really look forward to them, I'm going to say that in the coming year, and we'll probably see many of them. But we need to understand, as James is going to teach us here in our lesson today, that tribulation worketh patience. We find this morning that the word patience literally means endurance. And James is going to show us how and teach us how to endure under the times that we come into those unpleasant things in our lives today. The word endure really means to abide under, and You know, as you study the Word of God and as you study the book of James, I'm going to tell you this morning, God sometimes does things a little backward than we do it in our lives today. God sometimes gives the test, and then He teaches us the lesson today. You know, sometimes you do some strange things in life. You do some humiliating things. And I remember several years ago back, I guess in the medieval times, most people would say, when I was in high school and playing football, and we were down about the 10-yard line and we needed to score, and as we are give the ball and take off, and I'm running around the end and cutting and diving through people, and I see the goal line, and I make a great dive and dive over the goal line and think I've scored. Come to find out it was the 5-yard line. That was kind of humiliating. You see, I stopped a little short of the goal. We don't need to stop short of the goal this morning. We need to learn to endure and to continue on for what God has for us this morning. We never need to quit too soon. You know, if you don't have endurance, you're never going to do anything in life. You can't learn to play the piano unless you're willing to endure the time that it takes to learn. You'll never be able to get an education, whether it's high school or college today, unless you're willing to endure and learn the things that you have to learn. You'll never be able this morning to lose weight unless you're willing to endure the things that it takes today. We find here that James is going to talk about diverse temptations, that is, different kinds of trials that we're going to face in this life, different kinds of tests. He's not talking about we're being tempted to sin. We find in verse number 12, he lays that to rest. I'm not going to turn there because this morning God doesn't tempt anybody to sin. You know, sometimes you hear and people will say, well, it was God's will for me to leave my wife and go off with another woman. I want to tell you right now, God never did that. God is not God's will. That's tempting a man, and that comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. Not God tempting us to sin today, but we're going to find that there are tests to show us that really God is still God, even in our darkest hour and in our darkest night. I read somewhere the other day that one night last week was supposed to be the darkest night in 500 years. I don't know anything about that, but I have no idea how they could even figure that out. But this morning I can tell you this, that we go through some dark nights and dark times in our lives, and, you know, we need to learn something. We need to find that God is going to teach us a lesson in those dark times. And He's going to give us a faith that can be trusted this morning. And so James is going to let us learn some things here in our text today. He tells us in verse number 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, you need to find and you need to learn enjoyment. Count it all joy. Now, he doesn't say grin and bear it. What he's saying is that we still need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to rejoice that God today is still God. Now, why does he tell us that? I often wonder, James, why do you put this in your book? Why, God, is this here? Why and how in the world can I count it all joy? But you see, God give us a test. God put us through a time of testing, and we overcome. We come out on the other side, and we became overcomers. And overcoming Christians this morning can always be joyful Christians. You know, when I was in school, I don't know all that they do now, but I suppose some of the things are a little bit the same. Sometimes we'd go into the class and you get all set down and the teachers say, all right, put your books up, get your pencils out and a piece of paper. I'm going to give you a pop test. You're supposed to read this chapter. You're supposed to study this, and you're supposed to done all of that, so I'm going to see if you studied. I'm going to give you a pop test, and it's going to count for your week's grade. And the first thing I'm thinking is, boy, I wish I'd have read that. Well, this is going to be tough. How in the world am I going to get through this? But you know, when they give the test, and if you knew the answers, and when they got through with the test and you passed the test, then you could count it all joy, couldn't you? You could rejoice. You could overcome. This morning, that's the way it is with the Lord. When we go through these times in our lives and we go through these diverse temptations and trials and temptations, and we come out on the other side, and our faith is just as strong as it was when we went in, and maybe a lot stronger. We can have a time of joy because we've overcome that this morning. Barbara Johnson wrote a book many years ago, and I can't remember the name of it. And I was reminded not long ago as I was traveling that up Highway 25, and I passed a church, and it had a little thing out on its sign that said, pain is inedible, but misery is optional. And that was the only reason I remembered that. That's the one thing I remembered from that book by Barbara Johnson that she wrote in that book, that pain is coming, but misery is optional. You see, we can go through these trials and these temptations and these things that are going to come our way, and we can either be miserable or joyful. That's our choice. You can either be miserable or you can be joyful. Which will it be this morning? Joseph Tyson was a Romanian pastor, and he was there under the communist regime, and I remember reading about one time the police came and they went into his home and went into his library and they began to take books and they said, sign these books. And we're going to take them back and we're going to look at them. And if we find anything that is about and against our government, we're going to put you on trial and put you in prison. And he said he was sitting at the table and they were bringing these books and he was writing his name, and he said, I was getting madder and madder and angrier and angrier. And he said, they brought this book and the name of it was Count It All Joy, Do You Have It Now? And he said, that convicted me, and he said, I looked over at my wife and he said, honey, he said, we've got visitors in our home, make us some coffee. Count it all joy. We can either be miserable or we can be joyful. That's our choice this morning. Temptations and trials and troubles are going to come. How will we handle them? How will we react to them? Will we be miserable or joyful? Paul and Silas, of course, were placed in prison. How did they react? The Bible says that at night they prayed and sang praises unto God. James said, when you fall and when all of these things happen to you, when you fall into diverse temptations, count it all joy. Are you going to be joyful or are you going to be miserable? Then there's enlargement. Look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That you may be perfect. Well, most people want to be perfect, don't they? But the word perfect here doesn't mean sinless. It simply is a Greek word, teletos, which simply means mature. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus, as the captain of our salvation, was made perfect. Now, we know Jesus wasn't made perfect. Jesus was born perfect. But talking there about he was made mature, you see. And this morning, James is teaching us that through these diverse trials and temptations that God will mature us this morning. You see, the oak tree is a perfection of an acorn. I read somewhere, it says, when you're feeling discouraged and feeling a little blue, take a look at a mighty oak and see what a small nut can do. In the book of Psalms, chapter 4, and verse 1, the scripture says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You know when you become mature? You know when you really begin to mature in life? That's through trials. That's through hard times, bad times, and dark times, and sad times, and all of those times that are unpleasant today. That's what brings maturity. Honestly, this morning, I'm telling you the truth. Maturity comes through the hard and the dark and the unpleasant things of life. And I think one of the number one problems that we have in this nation, especially today, is we want to remove all the problems from somebody's life. I mean, we want to pay for their college education. We don't want them to ever have any problems or troubles, and we don't want them to have to try to figure out this and that and the other. And sometimes I know now and I understand why we have a nation of irresponsible people today. I didn't learn responsibility. I didn't learn maturity during all the good times. I learned it during the bad times, the hard times. When you don't know how to pay this bill and how to pay this one, and you're trying to figure out who you can put off till next week, and you're trying to do everything that you can and raise children and do all of this, and nobody's standing there to write you a check. Nobody's standing there to give you a handout. And that's good, because you know what it taught me? Responsibility. Maturity. Hey, when me and Desi married, I was about as immature as anybody's ever been in the whole world. She says I still am, but I'm not really. I was immature. I didn't care about nothing. Or didn't have to worry about nothing. I mean, whatever, you know. Just, you know, who cares? But you know where I learned maturity? Through the hard times, the bad times, the unpleasant times of life. That's what James is saying here today. You see, we become mature through trials. A lot of folks this morning just need to go through some trials, and they'll come maturity today. Persimmon. Anybody ever eat a persimmon? Persimmon's pretty good. My grandma used to make jelly out of them. You know? But I want to tell you something. One of the most sourest, awfulest things you could ever put in your mouth is a green persimmon. I mean, when you take that thing, oh, it'll suck you up. You know why? It's green. It ain't matured. Let it mature, and it's just a sweet piece of fruit. I think some folks been pulled too green sometimes. I'll be honest with you. You know, we have to go through that maturing stage. That's what James is saying, that we'll be made perfect. We'll be made mature. We'll come out on the other side a lot better. And then there's enlightenment. Verse 5, he said, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, we need enlightenment. When trials come and things happen, we need some enlightenment. And James said, hey, when you like that, you don't have to run down to your neighbor. You don't have to begin to ask around. He said, just ask God. You know, when you read the book of Job, and Job had a lot of troubles and problems. We think we got it. Boy, Job had a lot of troubles. Had three friends that came, and Job was asking God, why? Why did this happen, God? You begin to read in the latter parts of Job, and God said, Job, where were you at? You're so smart. Where were you at when I put this thing in motion? And you see, God began to speak to Job, and then Job remembered who God was. You see, sometimes we just need to remember not why, but who we're serving this morning. We're serving the Lord. But God will give us enlightenment this morning. Talked here about the wavering of the wave and how treacherous it is. You know, wave, just, you never know. It's just always moving. Moves with the wind. But you see, wisdom really comes from God this morning. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, and I just want to read a couple of verses there in Proverbs real quickly to you, and listen to what he says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You see, God today will direct our path. He'll tell us the way that we need to go. That's wisdom today. And it comes from God. Too often we reject God's wisdom. Several years ago I was working at a place, and a man brought his automobile in and having a problem. And finally, they called a fellow over and said, do you know what's the matter with it? He said, yep. They asked him what it was, and he told them, and they said, oh, that's not it. He turned around and walked off, and the guy said, where are you going? He said, why did you ask me? I didn't tell you what's the matter with it. You know, they worked about 3 days, then they found out what he said was right to start with. And I think I'd do that way with the Lord. I say, Lord, what should I do? And he says, do this, and I go the other way. Well, I believe I'll go over here first. I don't believe that's the right way to go. But, you know, we need to acknowledge him and let him direct our path. Well, sometimes it gets dark, doesn't it? Sometimes we go through those dark hours of the soul, and we don't know which way to go and which way to turn. God does. And he'll direct our paths. He'll lead us in the direction that we need to go. Enrichment. Notice what he said in the last phrase of verse 4. He said, wanting nothing. Well, all of us like to be in that situation, wouldn't we? Wanting nothing. You see, we go through these times, and when we get in God's will, God always takes care of our necessities, doesn't he? He takes care of us. Well, I've learned that the hard way so many times. How wonderful God is. How this morning that God always takes care of what I need. It doesn't always take care of all my lust and desires, but he always takes care of what I need. Right. He's supplied, he's took care, he's protected. Boy, I could just go through a list of things this morning of how that God through the years has supplied my needs and took care of me and all of those things that he's done. And all I could say to you this morning is thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I said, been through a lot of things in life. A lot of what would seem like dark hours and dark times, and you know, God always has brought me through. Always directed my path. And he's always took care of everything that I needed. And I guess this morning, the main thing I could say to you is, what else do I need but God? Somebody said, me and God is a majority. Well, I think God's the majority by himself, but I just want to be with him. Amen.
Amen.
James is teaching us how that there's going to be dark times and troubles and trials in our life, and they're coming, folks. I don't know what the coming year holds for us. I know we'll have some dark hours and dark troubled times and troubles. But this morning, look to the book of James and look to God. And when you come out, you can say, thank God. Praise the Lord. God took care of everything. I thought about that song, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water and some through the blood, and some through the flood, but all through the blood, amen.
Amen.
God's going to lead us this morning. God's going to take care of us. But we do need some encouraging from the Word of God. That's what James says we should do. That's how to live in this present evil world. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, if you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name I pray. Amen.